Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interesting story coming out of New Orleans. Evidently, the Archdiocese of the Catholic Church there in New Orleans is saying, don't get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They're very angry. Evidently, they're claiming that it was made with, originally back in the 70s, is what they're saying. The original cells that they used originated from aborted fetuses from the 1970s. So they're saying, don't do it. It's morally compromised. And this is where the weird caveat is. Evidently, all of them are. All of them are used with the same kind of stem cells. Only Johnson & Johnson is, well, worse somehow. So interesting how they pick and choose. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day. Also, maybe get some thoughts on the golden Trump doll from Sunday. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman and political advisor, analyst, smart guy, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, you so overrated me. Hi, how are you?
I am good. What do you think of the golden calf, the golden Bob's big boy character? What do you think of it?
I was speechless. I'm not going to bid on it. The artist wants $1 million. Did you see that?
It's up to $1 million. It was $100,000 a little while ago.
He said that it would be worth $1 million, but he said he would take $100,000.
Okay.
Right.
I wouldn't pay 50 cents.
You know, this was interesting because when I first saw it, I thought it was the creation of somebody, you know, that was running CPAC. And then I saw where this artist came up with this and used his life savings of $50,000 to make this 6-foot-tall, undisputable star, as they call it, statue. And then he was trying to hawk it. He thought it was worth $1 million, but he said if somebody offered him $100,000, he'd take it. His name's Zegan. And he made it, as you know, he made it in Mexico. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
Oh, I'm going to bring it up. He made it in Mexico.
Yeah, the absurdity of the whole
thing. It's Trump, you know?
Well, he did carry it over the wall, though.
Well, yeah, but the question is, did he bring it over, you know, legally, or does it have papers, or what? I mean, you got to ask that. It's the golden calf.
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
It did stir some religious people to, you know, go back to the biblical days of the golden calf that was made, so I know that.
Of course it did, but it didn't seem to bother anyone there at CPAC. I mean, they were all smiles taking pictures with the guy with the wand, the magic wand.
It was so gaudy. But I actually did think maybe they had created it at CPAC, but it was created by this artist and then allowed to be brought there and put on display and taken pictures and things. I wonder if Ted Cruz took a picture.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that they found him kissing its behind.
There it is. If Ted Cruz was smart, he went down to Mexico to look at that statue to pre-approve it. There you go. Now, that would have helped his
cause. That would have helped. I think that would have bought him some love from that crowd.
Oh, by the way, the Cancun joke bombed. Even at CPAC, it bombed.
As it should have. And then he went and attacked AOC again, you know, and you go, look, dude,
right.
Bad comparison. A joke about Bernie and the mittens, maybe. No, not even Bernie and the mittens, because, look, your constituents didn't have mittens. There are people who got frostbite because you went off to Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was kind of, well, as you know, he came out with 2%.
Yeah, he was still fifth, though.
Rick, you could have came out of there with 2%, okay? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 1%. You know, right behind Ted.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. So what did you think of Trump's speech? I mean, there was nothing there for me, but I'm curious. Grade?
Very, I think, in Trump tradition, if you have to rate it, first speech after the you know, presidency, post-presidency, it was mild. Really was. He hammered over a couple of old things and then made it clear he wasn't going to wasn't going to start his own party, which was the biggest revelation of the night. Now, I didn't think it was an electric, you know, here I am again speech.
See, very low really energy, didn't. You know, low energy.
Right. Right.
And you know, as I've been saying, it's kind of like going to see an old comedian who hasn't got any new jokes, and you could probably tell the jokes better than they can. That's
right.
Kind of the feeling I got from him. It was the same tired material that I thought could have been delivered by anybody else better.
Right. And also, now people will scoff at this, but you know, he came out only with 68% out of CPAC. Now, the reason I say that, I'm sorry, but it's, you know, it's Trump, it's CPAC. Would you honestly not have thought it would have been higher than 68? I would have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So where's the 55% number at?
I don't know.
Because originally, what I saw was 55% would vote for him for president in 2024.
Oh, yeah.
21% was for DeSantis, and then it was down, you know, plummeted from there, but... So, is that the same number?
I heard the 68% today when I was talking on Wisconsin radio.
Okay.
So that's what I heard.
Yeah, because there was the 55% number, but when they do you want him to run? That number jumped up. So
well, that must be.
It could be, you know, wanting him to run as opposed to voting for him for running.
Right. Uh-huh. Or acceptance, 55% acceptance. You know.
No.
Yes, that's what you're right. 68% want him to run again, and I still think that's low for Trump at CPAC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean I watched it and I'm going, you know, CPAC, how far thou hast fallen. I mean, this
right.
was, you know, at one point this is where you came for new ideas. This is where the conservative elite, you know, floated their ideas. You know, now it's just wow. It was like a loony bin.
Well, there was nothing of ideas out of this. And you're right, it used to be at CPAC. Because, you know, I've covered different events. I've covered CPAC. I've covered what I would now call, you know, progressive conferences. But with CPAC, they would in the past bring, you know, people that would bring forth an idea, a mantra, ideas for legislation, et cetera. And this turned a complete different direction.
Yeah, but then again, nothing really there anyway. I wanted to get your thoughts on Tammy Duckworth has now called on Joe Biden to release all of the intel with the alleged Russian bounties on troops in Afghanistan. I think that's going to happen?
I don't know if it will. I think she's on to something. Why not release that intel? And also, you know, I'd still like to see even more intel on the on the Saudis and the 3,000 some people that died in in 9/11, I'd like to see some more of that intel, especially of how the government went after the investigation into the Saudis and the embassy. And I think also that there's no reason not to release the intel on the Russians. Now, I understand how they gathered it can't be released. That's fully understandable. But what they gathered could be released. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those moments where, you know, I have a lot of people who keep telling me, wow, you know, that whole Russia thing was a hoax. And I'm going, no, it wasn't. And I think this is one of those moments where there's got to be some of that comes out. You know, what exactly Russia has been doing over the last, you know, couple of decades. And if this is true, that they did put bounties on the heads, and I'm told that it's true, we should be able to see the evidence that points that out.
Well, again, I think the 9/11, you know, look, when President Trump was going to release some information, you know, on the Kennedy assassination, JFK assassination, the government came out and said, well, you know, there's some matters of national security. Tell me what in the 60s they did with the CIA that is so important that's used today,
yeah.
You know, or, you know, this is all a smokescreen. I think they ought to release a lot of information. Now, that doesn't mean that you release how you acquired it, because then that gives up, you know, some of our ability to acquire future information.
Yeah,
or obviously sources that are hidden within Russia that we don't want to reveal because they'll be killed or, you know, we can't use them. But I think that the information itself, why not release it? I mean, it's a good question. Did they do that? Did they put the bounties?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, on the JFK stuff, you know, there's nobody alive yet.
Right.
There are no spies left. They're all gone.
Right.
We should know. But the sad reality, and this is where my mind goes with this, you know, we did a lot of horrible stuff that we don't want out. We have a history that's not as pristine as we'd like to believe.
Correct.
And it would further, again, we're at one of these moments where everything of the past is being, being reexamined and thrown out. I mean, I look at the fact that today I saw Dr. Seuss is no longer on the reading list because of the racist things that cartoons he drew back in the 30s. We seem to be canceling everything, and some things for good causes, but I don't think that should stop us from wanting to know what happened.
Well, you know, it shouldn't. I mean, it should be revealed. And my pet peeve of all is the people who lied to us. What did they tell? Why did they tell it? Not where they got the sources from, as much as what did they actually tell? Then how was it verified? And I'm talking about the Iraq war.
Yeah. Is there any movement to do that? Is there any push?
No, none. I mean, neither side wanted to dig into it. It's like, oh, well, it happened. And that's like members of Congress who voted, as I did at the time, to allow full faith of the ability of George Bush to decide, you know, to go into war or not. And then later people said, well, Saddam was a bad guy. Well, my answer to that is, so is the premier of China. Right. We'd have done better to have invaded Beijing, frankly. You know, at least we'd have got some jobs back.
There is that.
Yeah, I'm not running on that platform. I'm just
saying. Yeah, that would be a tough one.
Yeah. Well, maybe not in parts of Ohio, but.
Maybe not. I mean, that's always been a very interesting state. Let's move along. Evidently, Andrew Cuomo's got himself in a twist.
Yeah.
Now another allegation, a third. You got Nancy Pelosi saying that the allegations are credible. What's this mean for Cuomo?
Well, I think that I think he's in severe trouble. You know, at first, it was verbal. Then there were some other accusations. Now, I think the toughest thing for him right now is that Congresswoman Rice of New York has come out and said he needs to resign. And what I mean by that, if you look at Al Franken, who, frankly, I do believe never had his day before the Ethics Committee and should have had his day before the Ethics Committee. He really should. I think he should have. But because that's what he wanted to do. But, you know, one member came out against him from New York, and then the rest was history. So as Congresswoman Rice comes out now from New York and says you need to resign, if others jump aboard, he can't survive that. He simply can't survive it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, and I keep coming back to, because you're one of the first people I had heard put it this way: the media loves building you up, just so they can tear you down,
rip you down. Oh yeah, and I think with AOC, not that they have ripped her down, but they put her to such a level and then dropped her like a hot potato. I mean, because that's what they do. And they'll do it with other people. I mean, Cuomo was purported to be out there as maybe, you know, running for president. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what he did or he didn't do, but once this starts where especially a member of Congress calls for your resignation, if others jump aboard, and I use, again, Al Franken as the example where I would still defend his right at that time when others, including Republicans, were not asked to resign, but due to, you know, the pile-on in the media, he resigned before he had his hearing day.
Yeah, I was against the idea of him resigning the way he did.
Right.
You should have had the hearing.
Sure.
And you know, this is one of those, you know, those weird moments where, you know, at what point is his harassment, is all of this stuff, does it rise to that level? Because I didn't think what Franken did was absolutely horrible. They were on a joking tour.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't right. It was wrong. And there's no question about that. But I don't know that it rose to the level of destroying his career.
Well, that's true. And also, there are points. If you go back in Congress, and I mean, I can recall conversations as anybody can. If you go back in Congress at some point in time, you know, 20 years ago, things were said, including females saying things to males. I'm not saying they sexually harassed them, but things would be said, and there was a lot of joking nature, things that today are totally unacceptable. But if you go back at that period of time and bring this all out, and somebody's still there, they're not going to survive it, you know, most likely.
Yeah.
So also the context of it, like with Franken and the joke tour, you know, the context of it and the day. Not to say that anything like that is appropriate, and the times have certainly changed for the better, but the context of what was said when it was said, I think has some validity to it, you know.
No. No, we'll see what happens to him. I think he's done.
I think he's doomed with Congresswoman Rice particularly coming out and the Speaker, you know, but I think with the Congresswoman from New York, Democratic, coming out and saying that, I think he's doomed.
I think he's doomed. I didn't think he did an overly great job on the virus stuff early on. I think there's a lot of problems going to be coming out about that, but this just compounds it. Finally, wanted to get your thoughts on Joe Biden's statement on Sunday. His support for unions and support for the Amazon vote. Any thoughts on Biden's little 2-minute spiel?
Well, I personally loved it. You know, a bone to pick is Amazon doesn't pay taxes, which I think is absolutely you know, disgusting. But as far as, you know, what I hear from friends and some friends who have worked at Amazon, who talk about the warehouse conditions and how bad it is, I thought it was great. And the fact that he came out as the president, and even though it was a 2-minute video, and he didn't name, you know, Amazon specifically, but what he came out to do, I think, was very good. He talked about workers and voting, whether to organize a union in their workplace, and it's a vitally important choice they on it. Whether they unionize or not, that's up to them. They should have a free and fair choice, as he said, to join a union. I thought it was big.
Yeah, I think it's one of those political statements in a moment when, you know, the attacks are coming fast and furious at unions and workers, for him to come out and with the courage to do that. As I tweeted out, that's the reason I voted for him right there.
Right. I thought it was great. I thought it was a very significant 2 minutes that gave a lot of life and breath to, and not just Amazon, but for the ability, you know, when we've got these workers that are all scattered in the Uber and, you know, they can't really be bargained, you know, because they're everywhere. You know how that runs with,
yep,
for example, Uber. But in this case, Amazon's the giant, and the fact that the president supports a free choice within that corporation, as any corporation, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I do too. Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Good stuff, our good friend Bob Nay. Let's take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.